Good morning. I'm looking for Ray. Why is he gone? Oh, he's there. Symbolically, sometimes we need to do stuff that helps us and also sends a message into the spiritual realm. That was a marching saying, we're in a battle. I've probably shared the illustration before, but I'll share it again. Andy will probably appreciate it more than anyone. About 2-3 seasons ago, I've been a season ticket holder at Old Trafford now for 4 years. I go with my eldest son, yeah. Nigel will help me with that, I'm sure. But he still says to me, about 2-3 seasons ago, we played Liverpool at home, one of our big rivals. And I think we lost 3-0. But about 20 minutes from the end, United are losing 3-0. The United fans just kept singing for about 20 minutes, 20 times, 20. And John Mark says, it's the best atmosphere I've ever been in, Dad. They were losing. But it's a cry saying, we're not giving in. We're not giving up. Even when things are going against you, you've got to keep going. Keep praising. Keep shouting. The Bible says, doesn't it? You know I quote this often, but it's in my head and it's in my heart. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. Elena was leading us there. Praise is a weapon. It's interesting. I know this is nowhere near my notes, but don't let that worry you, Val. Something will happen in a bit, that'll get to it. When we were here on Thursday and praying and just meeting together, I went over there. I didn't have my Bible, which is unusual for me. I've always got my Bible. So I thought, you know, trying to get into modern technology. The Lord gave me a verse. I thought, I'll look it up. So I got my phone out, looked it up on Google. So if some of you saw me using my phone, that's what. And I thought, there's a Bible over there. I'll go and find out. So I went on the step, sat and read the Bible, where the verse was. I thought, I'll go and share this. And the Lord said, no. And I shared this on Thursday. God said, the Lord is marching out in splendor. And being the diligent person I am, I thought, I better go and look up this song that I remember. And this is what it says. I didn't realize this, Ray. This is a Graham Kendrick song. The Lord is marching out in splendor. In awesome majesty he rides. For truth, humility, and justice, his mighty army fills the skies. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever, forever. His army marches out with dancing, for he has filled our hearts with joy. Be glad the kingdom is advancing, the love of God, our battle cry. I didn't realize this either, but this is actually based on the scripture Mark started with in 2 Chronicles 20, when it actually says the Lord marched out ahead of his army. This is where this is from, 2 Chronicles 20. Praise is a weapon that God has given us because, in a sense, and don't take this the wrong way, it's not very logical, is it? Singing a few songs and banging a drum and doing stupid things, it's a spiritual thing and it's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. And praise does stuff that actually lifts us out of ourselves and causes us to look at him and think, hey, have you seen how big he is? That's what we're saying to the enemy. I might be little and small, but actually the one in me is bigger than you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what the book says. I haven't even opened that yet, but hey. It's important, isn't it? Where's she gone? I'm glad I've put this on my notes, otherwise I'd forget. Lynn, we've got a prayer chain, haven't we? People who are involved in the prayer chain, can you come and stand at the front, please? People, if you're involved in the prayer chain,
I'm special.
You've always been special, Linda. I don't know if touched is the same thing. Looks like you do need some men in the prayer chain. I'm sure that there are people perhaps not here. Now. Now, whether you understand it or not, when we talk about the prayer chain and you say, I've got a request, and most of us probably get hold of Lynn, might phone her, we might text her, all these people start to pray. How good is that? Barbara. She's a prayer. You're a warrior, aren't you? Good. Good for you. It's a magnificent thing to know that you've got backup and support in prayer, isn't it? I said it a week or two ago, and it's encouraging. I hope Lynn understands this, but the lady who goes to the Stars group is probably one of the most important people. She's not even saved, but she passes prayer requests on to our church. How does that work? I don't know. God does it. But it's a fantastic thing. If you want to get involved in the prayer chain, speak to Lynn. I'm sure she's more than happy to take more people on and get your name on the list. And you might say, I can't pray for hours on end. Isn't hours on end? It's when you've got the time to pray and press in. Okay, thank you. Fantastic, isn't it? Just as well, I'm not preaching, Val, seeing as you're up here, aren't you? You can't be in two places at once, yeah? Okay, Mark's talked about being in a battle. We're in a battle, aren't we? We know that bit. It's funny, I've been sat this morning as the worship, keep opening my Bible, God's saying different things. I'm thinking I've got about 300 sermons going in my head at once here. But you all know the passage. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the armour of God. Okay. And then it says, having done that, stand. And the next bit it says is, stand firm. Yeah. And then it says, having done all that, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And you're like, so hang on, I've put the armour of God on, but I've got to do some more stuff. Yeah, you've got to stand. Yeah. And you've got to stand firm. If you see any of the old movies, and I love watching the sort of battle ones, I went yesterday with Sue to the cinema. It was a complete nightmare. La La Land, they're in La La Land, whoever wrote that. Not my type of movie, let me put it that way. I said to Sue coming out, there was no action in it, nobody got killed, nobody got blown up, what's going on? Not my type of movie. Give me strength. I went because I wanted to be with my wife. Okay, let's go and see La La Land. Great, darling, it'd be good. Oh, dear. But in the if you see any battle scenes in the movies, usually somebody's, and Russell Crowe in Gladiator, gone along the line, stand firm, keep your position, hold fast. I love a line out of Gladiator, I'm sorry, movies are in my head. He says to his troops before they go into battle, what we do here now echoes in eternity. What we do echoes in eternity. We make a noise against our enemy that echoes in eternity. I'll get to my scriptures now. Psalm 110 verse 3. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. We've got to be willing and ready to go, haven't we? We can say we're in a battle, and we can say the great commander-in-chief is at the head, but we've got to be willing. If you look at the history of the wars, and it's not something I want to go into today, but there was a sort of people who were conscientious objectors, and people sort of protested and said, oh, it's not the right thing. Well, we're out with war and peace, but the Bible says we're in a spiritual battle. We've got to be willing to be part of it. You are unique. Only you have got what God has given you. Nobody else can take your place in that sense. Mark talked about this battle, and we're talking about it today. Did you know there's another battle going on? It's an important one. Romans 7, 21 to 25. This is Paul. Writing to the church at Rome. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. Here we go. Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. There's a battle going on here. Flesh wages war against the spirit, doesn't it? Unless you're one of these sinless people, don't do anything. If you are, please speak to me because I want to know the secret. It must be you, Sam, that, yeah. I'm sure. But there's a battle going on, isn't there? Flesh versus spirit. As my friend Les used to call it, the unholy trinity. I, myself, and me. It's all about me. Coming back to the heart of worship, Lord, it's all about me. Is it? But that's how we are some days, isn't it? Self gets in the way. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Got to go do it every day, haven't we? It's not pleasant. We're talking about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting essentially are us taking control over our own desires and our bodily desires. And sometimes to set some time aside is difficult, isn't it? To squeeze time in, to find time. The Lord's got a great sense of humour, hasn't he? Because this week I went to the doctors and I had to have some blood tests. And he said, it's a fasting blood test. You can't eat for 12 hours. So I've done my fasting bit, you know. Whether I liked it or not. Well, you could just ignore it. And I've just got a few personal testimonies about fasting because I don't know how else to illustrate other than to talk about myself. I am who I am, for better or for worse. It wasn't probably until I'd been saved a couple of years I understood anything about fasting. Nobody had ever talked to me about it. I'd never heard anyone preach about it. And then somebody shared about it, and I started looking at it and thinking, I'm sure there are times when I want to get closer to God and actually God wants to speak to me. Maybe I need to set that time aside. So I've done various things in terms of fasting. And in my days at Bible College, when I was young and foolish, now I'm old and foolish, I once was told off. I fasted for 7 days, played football on the last day, and then broke the fast with steak and chips. Which is not ideal, is it, really? And please, I probably need to say this. When we're talking about fasting, if you've got health issues, you need to consult your doctor before you go down that route. And you need to be wise in the way you do things. I wasn't wise. An example from my own sort of stupidity there, in terms of how not to do it. I've done all the things you shouldn't do. My heart was right, and God sees the heart, doesn't he? Probably what I did was stupid. Since coming back to Carmel in the last probably 2, 3, 4 years, I've started to fast occasionally. And the Bible says it's not something, in a sense, you should boast about. The Pharisees used to put ash on the head so people would see that, you know, they're fasting. Whoa, look at me, aren't I good? So, you know, we need to go around with a sticker on. In fact, no. But I think I've started to understand God actually wants me to draw closer to him. And what it does, it's tied in, really, a little bit of what Viv said. What it does, it lifts us out of ourselves, not to look at ourselves, to look at him, and also to see the needs around us. Isaiah 58 talks about the type of fast, and it says, to deal with those who are in need, to loose the chains of injustice. Great book, I don't know where mine went. If you've got it, give it back. I looked for it this week, but I couldn't find it. Arthur Wallace, God's Chosen Fast. About Isaiah 58, probably the best book I've read on fasting. But looking after the homeless is what God says. It says in Isaiah 58, we fasted and you didn't hear us. And God said, no, that's not what it's about. Not just about doing without food and going, I've got a badge. Look at what a Christian I am, I fasted. God said, no, it's not about that. It's about doing something and lifting yourself out and maybe going, having a conversation with somebody who's got his little bit of cardboard, please help, I am homeless, with a little pot there. I've said to you before, Viv, I repeat it, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. God does it, it's a good thing, isn't it? Does it better than we can do it as leaders. It's great. The three types of fast the Bible talks about, a partial fast, You can't actually go without certain things. Chocolate. What? No. It might be, if you want to widen it, not just about food, maybe you go without using your mobile phone for a few hours. These are fainter on the front row here. They need reviving. Or maybe you go without watching your favourite TV programme. What I would suggest, if you're going down that route, whatever time you give up, use some of it to pray. Not just do without, but use, maybe if you say, okay, well, I normally would watch, I don't know, Coronation Street, half an hour. Probably about 20 minutes with the adverts taken out. I normally would watch that. I'm going to give that up. I'll use that 20 minutes and pray. Fast and pray. There's a partial fast is a fast from all food and just water. Normally what I've done, and again a lesson if it helps you, I need just to illustrate from my own stupidity and naivety. I've always sort of thought, it's just typical me, I'm an all or nothing type guy. Fasting, that's it, you know. No food, I'll just have liquids. I maybe be into a fast day, 2 days. I go to the fridge and so I have a piece of cheese. And I suddenly remember, I'm fasting. And that stopped me. I'd stop. Stupid. I could say, oh, well, carry on. But no, immediately, because I'd forgotten, my body got, just see something, think, that used to break my fast because I was stupid. But you can have a partial fast. You can carry on and say, oh, I forgot, Lord, it's okay. Or you can have a full fast, no water, no food, which we read about in Esther for 3 days. Saul, Acts chapter 9, 3 days without food and water. Is this making any sense? Some of you know about this stuff. Why is it important? The Old Testament clearly links the idea of fasting essentially being a cry out to God. Can I have the scripture in Nehemiah, please? Thank you, Val. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah, when he was told about the situation in Jerusalem, the walls were down, the gates had been burnt, he began to pray and began to fast. And one of the reasons he fasted was that God would grant him favor with the king. Goes on to say, I think it's verse 9, I was the cupbearer of the king. He wanted to go back and restore the city. And if you read the book, actually the king sent him with materials, which is fantastic. Nehemiah decided the situation was so desperate, I need to do something about it. If you're in a difficult situation, I would suggest sometimes you need to go the extra mile and pray and fast. And see what God will do, because he'll surprise you. Esther 4:16. This is Esther talking to the people. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. There's a brave lady. I'm going to go, and I know I'm not supposed to, because the law says death. But you start to fast and pray, and I'll do the same, and we'll see what God will do. And we all know, if you like, in the book of Esther, it's all right, it's only Joan wants some water, Sam talking to her, it's fine, I can cope. For such a time as this, Esther's all about, for such a time as this, but for such a time as we're in today doesn't come without cost. God's doing stuff in our church at the moment. What Deborah Green had to say was quite challenging. I don't know who our partners are going to be, but I tell you what, God's on with something here. God's on with something. And when she said that thing about Carmel will get a reputation, people will come because you're praying, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm believing that. People are going to come to this place to see what's going on because, as Ray would say, God's in the house. That's the most important bit. It ain't about the leaders, it ain't about the worship, and he knows what I mean. It's about God being in the house. We want to be such people that when we pray and draw close to God, we get to see what we should do. We need revelation, don't we? Anyone there? Hello? Jeremiah 14, 11 to 12. Here's the connection with prayer. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry." Hang on, what happened there? I thought fasting was just about no. Actually, fasting's the same as praying in that sense. "Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague." I think we're all familiar with the quote from Chronicles. I can't just remember where it is. Is it 2 Chronicles 7:14 or 1 Chronicles 7:14? "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their land." It's about us saying to God, actually, if you want me to put it in blunt terms, and I'm a very blunt guy, you're more important than food. God's more important than food. It's a bit shocking, isn't it? That's how it should be. With it so far? Prayer. It's linked to fasting. It's a cry out to God. If we're going to abstain in terms of fasting, I would suggest it needs to be hand in hand with prayer on its own. It's probably got some value, but actually, prayer and fasting are often linked. We know the Pharisees fasted 2 days a week, the Bible says. Luke 18, 11 to 12. Sorry, I've got lots of scriptures, but I'd like you to know that what I'm talking about is from the book, not just from me. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, I ain't any of them, Lord. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Aren't I good?" We may criticize the religious leaders and say, "Oh, what a waste of time." But actually, they fasted twice a week, the Pharisees. Mondays and Thursdays, apparently. Don't know what good that is, but that's the... This was exceptional. The nation of Israel as a whole was only actually ever told to fast 1 day a year. Do you know when that was? Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement. So, actually, that was exceptional. Fasting twice. Jesus himself, in teaching in Matthew 6, said, "When you fast, not if you fast." When you fast, don't be like the Pharisees. When you fast. And the classic verse about prayer and fasting, Matthew 17, 19 to 21. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?'" They're talking about a demon and a guy. "And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" So we all know this, but anything we do requires faith. "For verily or truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, 'Remove yourself,' and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible. Howbeit, the kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting," the King James has. Some manuscripts don't have that bit in, which is why it's not in the NIV. But prayer and fasting move stuff other things can't move. That's my understanding. The disciples were panicking, going, "Well, hang on a minute. We've been given authority. We've been sent out, but we can't do this." If you wanted to link three there, you'd have faith, prayer, and fasting. Okay, so far? Okay. Fasting helps us to focus our minds on other things other than ourselves. He's probably next door, Kane. I asked him this morning, did he have his Guinness Book of Records? And he looked at me blank. He's always carrying it round, but he hasn't got it today. How long can the body survive without food and water then? 3 days without water. That's the common understanding. That was always my understanding, probably taken from Esther and Saul, the 3 days, probably where we get it from. There was an unfortunate guy locked up in prison, 1979, this is in the Guinness Book of Records, which is what I'm talking about, Cain. They forgot about him. They locked him in a cell and forgot about him. Three officers. And one thought, Ray's dealing with it. And Ray thought, Mark's dealing with it. And Mark thought, Jed's dealing with it. And between the three of them, they forgot. 18 days. 18 days in a cell without food and water, apparently. This is in the Guinness Book of Records, not my fact. They reckon he possibly could have ate the dew off the wall or something, or moisture, I don't know. But he certainly survived. Gandhi, well known for his fasting. His longest fast lasted 21 days. Some of you are into the more modern stuff. David Blaine, suspended himself in a glass box over the Thames, 44 days without food. He had water, yeah, had water. These are extreme examples, but show we can achieve more than we think. Sometimes you think, oh, I couldn't do that, it'll never happen. My advice would be, if you haven't been down the route before and tried fasting, start slowly. Say you'll miss breakfast, or maybe you'll miss dinner or one meal. Don't be like me and rush headlong in and just don't eat anything, because I'm thick like that. What can fasting accomplish? It helps us secure favour in situations, Nehemiah and Esther. Have you got a situation at work? Have you got a situation at home? Have you got something you know God needs to intervene in? Show him you mean business. Spend a bit more time. That's what it needs. It gives us greater awareness of God's will and God's presence. Romans 12 says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, which is holy and pleasing and God's acceptable will. Then you will know what his will is, Romans 12 says. We present ourselves and God begins to speak to us. Do you want to move in the anointing and power of God? You need to get closer to know what he tells you to do. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong here. Mark's on the front, so I'm a bit hesitant, but I'll have to go with it. Sometimes when we say, any people want prayer, people come out and say, the leaders will pray, the elders. I sometimes stand here and say to God, who should I pray for? Because sometimes I have more faith and anointing and God gives me a word for someone rather than just going along like sausages saying, bless you, the Lord heal you, bless you, bless you, bless you. God needs to give us revelation to break in, doesn't he? To break every chain. Break every chain. That's what we've been singing. God wants to move in power. And he wants us as a body. It isn't just about the leaders. Part of what we were told when Deborah preached and what we've been saying, it's about unity. We move together as a body, don't we? God wants to anoint and release us all to move in his power and authority. It helps us to break Satan's hold and release God's power. That's what we want to do, isn't it? The emphasis is on you. I know you all know this stuff. I find I get encouraged by these people saying, it's okay, we need to hear it again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's your bit, resist. Come on, God, do it for me. I want you to move. Any chance you'd get involved? God's saying, any chance you'll be part of it? Resist the devil. Acts 13, as they were praying and fasting, the Lord said, separate Saul and Barnabas. Did you know when you pray and fast, you can get revelation? God can speak to the whole church and say, this is the way to go. Is it Isaiah? You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I think it's Isaiah somewhere. 66 chapters, stick a pin in, you'll find it. No, don't mean that. I can't remember where it is. God wants to break in to us as a fellowship. But if you like, this is the spiritual health warning coming across the screen now. It's going to cost. There's a cost involved to see God at work. He wants to see how serious we are. And he wants to see how willing we are. We're back to my starting scripture. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Warren came and prayed for me this morning, which was great. And I was just lost in, Mark was saying, I was responding to the leadership as a good member should. Sing your own song to the Lord. And I was off in singing in Psalms. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And that's what I was singing. Psalms are there for singing. Did you know that? So I had a go at singing. Well, my voice is any good or not. Who cares? I'm praising God. And I'm prophetically proclaiming what I've been saying for years when I've been walking up and down here on a Tuesday when I come in before I set the prayer meeting up. Generally speaking, I'm saying that. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. Because when we come in this place, that's what we want to see. The King of glory. That's what's going to bring people to Carmel. The King of glory. And then it says, mighty in battle. Woohoo! I like that bit. Do you like that bit? The one we serve's mighty in battle. We need to see that more. I have a standing joke with Ray, which he gets. I tell him off if he sings songs that are not on the list. And he'll be up for before the eldership on Monday because he's done stuff and come off the platform that's not on the list. He's been a very naughty boy. I love the fact he gets inspired from God and we can go with that. That's what, whether you realise it or not, that's where we're going. God's taking us to a place where it's not all down on the bit of paper and we're responding. Thank God he's got an ear that listens to the Spirit. We're responding to God and saying, we'll go with it, God. It's, we don't really understand it all and we don't get it all and sometimes it's a bit odd. Well, so what? I'm a bit odd. Look at me. No. God is moving us into a new level of praise and worship to make ready for the battle and make ready for God himself to be in our presence. I want the day to come where we can't stand and minister where the cloud comes. We're getting there. We're touching it. James 4:1. I'm finishing now. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? We've got to show we can master ourselves. This thing, not just my head, there's a brain in there somewhere, honest. The mind is a big battlefield. That's why Paul says, take every thought captive. She's nice. Wonder what it'd be like to sleep with her. Hang on a minute. I should have been taking that thought captive and going, whoa, no. Don't want to know. First time it happens to all of us, it's when you begin to dwell on it, that's the problem. Read James about the progress. Thinking about something, acting on it. We've got to stop that thought. Take it captive. It's a battleground, isn't it? The mind. And when you, right, Lord, Jed spoke now. I'm going to get down and pray. And as soon as you get down, a thought comes. I've left the kettle on. That, blah. And you're distracted. The phone goes. You're away. Familiar to anyone? Take that thought captive and go, no, I'll deal with it. If it helps you any, I've said it before, have a pad with you and write down. Don't write down, must turn oven off. Go and do it. If it's still on. But other things, you know, I meant to see so-and-so. Write it down. Yeah. Then when you finish praying, you can pick it up. Otherwise, what happens, it's happened with me, I have good intentions, I start praying, someone comes into, I wander off into the study, I get a bit of paper, before you know it, 20 minutes later, I've gone, and then I've lost it. I'm out of my zone. There's a thing, actually, I've studied all sorts of stuff because I'm a teacher. You associate places with study and where you do things. You need to have a place where you associate with praying. Yeah. Set yourself a little place at home. Maybe in a chair. It doesn't matter. You don't have to stand up, kneel down. Do what you want, really, as long as you pray. Do open your eyes if you're driving and praying, would be my advice. Sue often prays when she's taking Devon to school. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. Hope you're getting what I'm saying. I'm sure you are. The cry has gone up to stand firm in the battle ahead. That's what God's asking us. That's what the cry is. Joel 2:12-13. I finish with this. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. I may have shared this illustration once before, but I remember it vividly. I travelled to Israel with Ian Watson, hitched out overland, because I was young and foolish, through many countries. I remember I stood on a hill overlooking Jerusalem. There's a group of people stood about 3 feet away from me. I thought, what are they on with, all ripping the clothes? Some Jewish people. They were rending their garments, they were tearing their clothes as a sign of mourning. And God says, I don't want you to tear your clothes, I want you to do something in your heart. It's more than the outward, it's more than tearing your clothes. I remember these people stood down and thinking, what are they on with, tearing the clothes? That's what they were doing, literally. Rending or ripping their garments, that's what it means. And God says, I want you to rend your heart, tear your heart, not your garments. Not the outward, it's the inward. If God changes your heart, the rest is easy. The physical bits become easier as God changes your heart. We are in for a time of warfare. If you didn't get it already, it's come to me again with force when I was praying today. There's numbers of people in our congregation not so well. Things happening, you're like, what's going on? What's all this about? And I'm not one of those who sees Satan everywhere, because I just don't get it that way. But I tell you what, we are under attack. Now's the time, if you haven't done it, get that armor on. Stand firm. Pray. Maybe fast, because actually, it's going to get tough. Before the light comes, the darkness is there. The light's on its way. God's in the house, as Ray keeps saying. And God's at the head of his army. We've got to show faith and commitment. That's what he's saying to us. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Jed.